Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. If you're new, my name's Brad. I'm the lead pastor. And if you are new, we have a New Here lunch right after service. If you've got kids, we will keep your kids in our kids ministry and still love on them. And then you just go right out there to that front room. It's a free lunch. You can learn more about CORE, meet our staff. We would love for you, even if this is your very first Sunday, you do not have to sign up for it. Just come and be a part of that. I mean, you like my shirt? Anybody liking the shirts here? These are our new Quit Playing with Lions shirts. We'll have these available on Friday night, guys. Turn to a guy. If there's a guy near you anywhere right now, just turn to him and say, you need to be there. You need to be there. Come on. Now turn back, guys, and say, have you signed up yet? Now turn to him and say, have you signed up yet? If the answer is no, sign him up right now. Just get your phone out. Sign him up. Go to quitplayingwithlions.com. Pretty easy website to find. Get yourself signed up, buy a ticket for yourself, somebody else. Listen, this night, we've got some really great stuff planned. I'm gonna give you a little sneak peek. You know, the ladies, they had their opportunity on Thursday. But guys, now it's our turn. And get ready. This is a little sneak peek of Friday night right here. Watch this. Now who's ready, huh? Here we go. You won't see that at Refresh. No, you won't see that at all. Oh, man. So, hey, I got to stop for a moment. I got to acknowledge something. Today is a very, very special day in our family. The First Lady of CORE Church having her birthday today, Miss Laura, it's her birthday. Come on, church, honor her. Do you not love her? Do you not love her more than you love me? Come on, you know you love her more than you love me. I mean, she's the reason I look so good. Oh, come on. Remain standing and come on, get your crown out. Put your crown on. Let's see, look at this birthday. She got a birthday crown. Look at this, huh? Wait, come here. Look, come here, give you a second here. Come on, look at this. She's look at that, huh? Wow. This is the joy of my life right here, everybody. Love you, baby. You can take it off, though, because that would be very, very distracting. Hey, remain standing. Let's read some scripture together. Luke chapter 5. That's where we're going to be today. Luke chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, we have free ones. They're in the lobby. Or you can download YouVersion, which is a great app. You'll see a lot of people on their phones. That's what they're on. Right, church? You're on YouVersion, right? If somebody's playing a game or on social media, just say, hey. Get off that. These are great apps for you. So we are, our word for this year, so we have a word that's carrying us through this year. So if this is your first Sunday, let me tell you, our word for this year is this big word called consecration. Fancy church word. It's only used in religious context. And that word consecration means to be set apart, dedicated, and fully devoted to Christ. I believe that almost everyone here today, and I realize it's not everyone. I know that some of you are here because you got dragged here, because somebody made you come, or it's the right thing to do. But I really, truly believe that most of us here, we're here today because we love Jesus. Amen? Amen. But there's different levels of love. Anybody know that? Get around, somebody's in middle school and they're like, oh, I just love him so much, Mom. It just broke my heart because I love him so much. And you're like, you don't love him. But truth is, she does love him at a like level. There are different levels of love. Did you know that? There's like the like level of love. So if you're a new parent, when your child gets to that age and they say they're in love with somebody, let them have it. That's fine. Let them say that because what they're in is they're actually in like. It's called puppy love is the old phrase we used to use. There's also the friendship type of love. There's a committed love, but then there is this love that we're talking about with consecration. It's a different level. A lot of followers of Jesus are not there. And that is this level where it is an unconditional love of Jesus. The word that is used in scripture is agape love. It's the love that Jesus has for us, and we are to love him back in that same way. he gets everything. He is above all things. Nothing comes before him. Amen? Amen. So that's what that word consecration means. So that's what this series is about. We're in this series called Formed in Christ. What does it look like to be like Jesus? Thing for those of you who are not yet followers of Jesus, let me just help you here. If you become a follower of Jesus, here's what happens. You become like Jesus. Like, that's the whole reason that you become a follower of Jesus. Yes, you get to the eternal life. Yes, you get the blessings and the favor of God. But the reason that you become a follower of Jesus is so that you can become like him. That's what this whole series is about, is being formed into the likeness of Christ. And how do we do that? So there's these eight character traits that we're talking about throughout this series. Today we're going to talk about knowledge. These come directly out of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And I'd like for us to say this together. Here's where you find these eight character traits. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love for everyone. So today we're talking about this word knowledge, and knowledge being found in the Word of God. And I'm going to use a passage of Scripture today that some of you know, and you're going to think, where in the world are we going? Because this, you're going to think, how in this passage of Scripture are we talking about Scripture and talking about knowledge and truth? But it's in Luke chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. If you're new to the Scriptures, Luke was not one of the 12 disciples, but he was a follower of Jesus, and he talked to the disciples, and then he wrote down the accounts and the stories of Jesus as he heard them. And this is about the most detailed account you will find of Jesus' life in the four Gospels. The four Gospels being Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which we learn about the stories of Jesus. So Luke chapter 5, verse 1, and I'm going to read to you out of the New Living Translation, which is the NLT. It says, one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed on to him to listen to the word of God. That's what we're doing, by the way, right now. Okay, so this is what was happening in the scene. This is a great crowd. This is a great crowd. This is a great crowd. Yeah, this is a great crowd. And we are pressing in right now to hear the word of God. Okay, so this is what this crowd is doing. So he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them, and they were washing their nets. And what I love here is, can I just sidestep for a moment? Peter and James and John, and like they have no idea what's getting ready to happen in their life. Jesus is about ready to get step into their, they're just minding their own business. Here's the thing for some of you. You just think you're minding your own business. Can I tell you that's the worst thing you can be doing when Jesus is around? Because he's about to tap you on the shoulder and bring you into something great. He's got a calling on your life. He's got something he wants to do through you. You don't believe it. You don't think you're worthy. Guess what? Neither did these guys. And so they're minding their own business. They're watching this guy and they're like, wow, he's amazing. And all of a sudden, Peter's like going to recognize he wants to use my boat. And when Jesus steps in your boat, everything is going to change. Amen. Oh, that's a good place to say amen. Amen? Amen. So he stepped in. I got stuff to preach. I'm already preaching. I don't know what's going on. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon. Now, Simon, for those of you who don't know, Simon's name would later be changed to Peter. So this is before he comes to Christ and before he meets Jesus, and then Jesus will later change his name to Peter. So he was the owner of the boat, told him to push it out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Now you got to remember that Peter is a professional fisherman. This is what he does by trade. So he says, kindly, master, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, but if you say so, whatever God asks, it doesn't make sense, right? And your answer is, if you say so, if you say so. That should be our answer every time. If you say so, I'll let down the nets again. And this time the nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought the partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Blessing, favor, joy, the abundant life all found in Jesus. So let's talk for a few minutes today about knowledge. Let's pray though before we get into the word here. Father, thank you for your spirit being here already. We sense it, we know it, and I know you're moving in this room right now. So church, let's just begin to pray for one another, whether you know somebody by you or not. There's somebody in front of you, somebody behind you, sitting next to you, down the row from you. They need a word from the Lord just like you do. And we need to pray against all distractions. We need to pray against the enemy who's coming in right now to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to uproot the word before it's even planted in the person next to you. Because right now they have doubt, they have wonder, they have questions, and the enemy's just going to try to stir them up to not hear the word of God today. But we need to pray that the Holy Spirit comes right now and washes over every person in this place so that we hear clearly the word of the Lord. And if you are ready to hear the word of the Lord, give me a big amen. 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 All right, you all can be seated. So we live right now in an age of information overload right now. I mean, it is like at no other time in human history. It is just crazy that we literally have knowledge at our fingertips, don't we? I mean, right in the palm of your hand, that phone, you have access to more knowledge than anybody's ever had before. I didn't know this, maybe you do, but did you know if you went on your app store, you have access to 2 million apps? That's how many apps, you couldn't get that many on your phone, but that's how many you could get if you wanted them. And then you add into that AI. What's happening with AI is just crazy. What we can learn and what we have access today is like, it's blowing everyone's mind. Does anybody have an AI app on your phone? Raise your hand if you got an AI. Oh, wow. So I've got one too. I use ChatGPT. Everybody's got their personal preference. I realize that. Some of you are like, oh, ChatGPT. No, I use Gemini. You know, I mean, so everybody's got their app that they want. There's even one out there called Claude. Have you heard of this one? Does anybody have Claude on your phone? Really? Claude. Claude. Who's getting their information from a guy named Claude? No offense if your name is Claude, by the way. I hope there's no Claude here today. I mean, how do they, when they're picking the name of the app, it's supposed to give you information, advice, wisdom, and knowledge. They're sitting around a boardroom, smartest minds in the world, and they, we can't come up with a name. We can't think of one. Anybody got anything? And some guy's like, well, my uncle's name is Claude. He thinks he knows everything. So they call it Claude. Now, no offense, I mean, I love Claude because Claude, though, is Claude's the guy I'm going to when I need, you know, advice on plumbing, when I need protection, because you know Claude's packing. That's where I'm going. But information is at our fingertips, and we have more knowledge than we've ever had at any time in human history, yet we are the most confused generation. We're confused. We don't know what truth is. We're more lost than ever before. And everywhere you turn, people are searching for truth, or they're just inventing it on their own. Here's the thing about truth we all need to understand. You don't get to invent truth. You don't get to change truth. You can't even vote on truth. Truth is absolute. It is unchanging, and there is a truth. And for those of us who follow Jesus, we believe that the Bible is the standard of truth and authority for our lives. If you believe that, will you say amen? Amen. This is what we believe at Core Church. It's one of the tenets of our belief. I'd like for you to write this down. This is where we're going to go for a few minutes. True knowledge is found in knowing Christ and knowing his word. Will you say that with me? True knowledge is found in knowing Christ and knowing his word. This is a declaration statement for us here at Core Church. And my hope today, in the few minutes that we have, is that you won't just become passionate for the word of God, but my prayer is that you will also become obsessed with the one who inspired it. That's my hope for you today. So, how do we discern what's true and what's not? And can we really trust the Bible? So let's talk about that for just a few minutes. Let's go back to the story of Peter and Jesus and verse 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to, say it with me, what? The word of God. Now think about this. They weren't pressing in to hear opinions or hot takes. No, they were pressing in because they wanted the truth. And they believed that the word of God was the truth. And so when Jesus is speaking to them, Jesus is not saying, Jesus is not saying, you know, from my perspective, you know what I believe. No, John 1 teaches us that Jesus is the word of God. So as he's speaking, he's literally speaking out his own words. It's like, which is strange in a way if you think about it, because he's preaching and he's like, you know, that's good stuff right there. I don't know. That's amazing. This is who Jesus is. He's speaking out the truth. In fact, we see in the gospel 78 times, across all four gospels, 78 times, Jesus says this, truly I say to you. What does that mean? What Jesus says is he's saying, hey, I'm about to speak the truth to you right now. But today, truth is subjective. It's open to interpretation. It's based on feelings or experience or just your perspective and what it is that you want to believe. In fact, there are many people who say this, I determine what I believe. Now let's play that out for just a moment, because that sounds good. I determine my own truth. Well, think about this. If you determine your own truth, and I determine my own truth, and they determine their own truth, and they determine their own truth, we have no truth. We have anarchy, which is what we are having today in our society. People are confused, there's brokenness, there's loneliness, there's anger, there's division, there's hatred, bigotry. All of those things we see is because people are determining their own truth. So maybe you say, well, yeah, of course, that's ludicrous. Nobody can determine their own truth. But I'll tell you, the big one that people say today is, well, society determines what is truth. I mean, you know, like, I mean, come on, everybody knows that's wrong. Everybody knows that you shouldn't do that. And everybody knows that this is what you should do. So society determines our truth. To which I would ask, which society? I mean, is it the East Coast? Is it the West Coast? I mean, is it the people in the South? Is it us in the Midwest is it people in Asia, Africa? Is the Middle East? Which society? And while I'm at it, are we talking about 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago? Because truth just seems to constantly be changing, does it not? Like 10 years ago, truth was something completely different than it is today. It's like truth has an expiration date on it. What? Like food. Recently, I bought some hot dog buns, and they have an expiration date on them. You know, when they expire, whatever it is, you throw it away, right? You don't use it anymore. And so I got these hot dog buns, and actually the expiration date wasn't just on the package itself. They wanted to make sure I knew when it expired. They put it actually on the bun itself. That is not AI, people. That's legit. But it's like truth has an expiration date. Like if you don't like it, you just throw it out. People will say this, oh, that's just archaic. Nobody believes that anymore. Come on. Here's the thing, truth has no expiration date. Truth does not have an expiration date. This is why Paul says in Ephesians 6 that you gotta put on the belt of truth. When he talks about the belt of truth, he's referring to the Roman armor. And the belt of truth is what held everything together. Without truth, everything falls apart. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, we got to stand on truth. We got to stand on truth. Here's the thing. We've got, as the church of Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus, we must take a stand for truth. But when we do, we can't do it with arrogance and pride. That's the problem right now. So many people that claim the name of Jesus are proclaiming the truth, but they're doing it with arrogance and pride. No, we don't approach truth with arrogance and pride. We approach it the way Jesus did, with compassion and love. And think about John 7 and the woman who is caught in adultery and what happens. They bring her before Jesus. And some of you know this story. If you don't know this story, look it up later. John chapter 7, this woman, she's committed adultery. And the Pharisees come, and what do? They speak truth. But what are they doing? They're standing for truth, but they're standing over the woman in pride and arrogance. Do you remember what Jesus did in the story? Come on, I've taught this many times. He got down in the dirt with her. What does that mean? He got down there in love and compassion. And then he spoke the truth. He said, I don't condemn you. Now, go and sin no more. What was Jesus doing in that moment? He's proclaiming the truth in love and compassion. What you did was wrong. But there is forgiveness and grace and mercy, and we can walk in freedom. Yeah, you can clap for that. True knowledge is found in knowing Christ and knowing his word. Let's make this our declaration statement again. Come on, let's say it together. True knowledge is found in knowing Christ and knowing his word. What's happened is, though, the past few years, people have become more and more skeptical of the Bible. Maybe you, even as a follower of Jesus, or maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe you're skeptical of the Bible. You're like, I'm just not sure that I can believe this. I mean, I heard that it's been altered. I mean, I've talked to some people, and I watched a documentary that said, man, this has been changed. And so how can we have confidence that the Bible is true? Well, I want to walk through this just really quickly. Well, first of all, historians, not just Christian historians, but all historians consider the Bible the most accurate document in human history. That is not even debatable in any circle. It is the most accurate. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here, like Plato's writings. So Plato, all of his writings are considered extremely reliable. And we have the ancient manuscripts that we have on Plato, we have about 250 of them, okay? So there's 250 ancient manuscripts of Plato, and they date to within 1,200 years of his death. So kind of blows my mind a little bit. We think it's this most accurate that we can find, yet it's the most current one we can find is 1,000 years after the guy died, okay? So let's compare that to our scriptures. So let's compare it to the New Testament, the writings in the New Testament. So where Plato's writings, they have 250 of the ancient manuscripts. For the New Testament, we have over 25,000 ancient manuscripts. 25,000. And the ones that we have were written within about 120 years of the author's death. When Paul died and when others died. They were within 120 years. In fact, there's some pieces and fragments of manuscripts that we have on Paul's that are within 60 years of John's death. It's incredible. Like, this is the Bible that you hold in your hands. By the way, the Bible that you have is not one book. It's made up of 66 books. Did you know that there's over 40 authors? 40 people were involved in writing the scriptures that you have in your hands. It was written over the course of about 2,000 years, from Old Testament to New Testament, in three different languages, on three different continents. Yet, with all of that, It doesn't contradict itself. And by the way, the only errors that they can find in any of the manuscripts and anything in Scripture all have to do with grammar, punctuation, spelling, on and on. That's the only errors they're able to find. But what makes the Bible true isn't the number of documents we have or the date in which those documents were written. No, what makes the Bible true is the source. That the truth flows from a source. Come on, turn to somebody and help them out a little bit today and tell them, truth flows from a source. Yeah, truth always has a source. Look at 2 Timothy. This is Paul, one of Paul's letters. And he wrote this to a young pastor named Timothy in chapter 3, verse 16. He says this, all scripture is what? All scripture is inspired by God. What does that mean? It means some translations say that it's God-breathed, that the Holy Spirit spoke to people, and then they wrote down what the Holy Spirit said. And they said it's useful to teach us what is,
true.
What is what?
True.
So it's useful. The scriptures teach us what is true and also make us realize what is wrong in our lives. So the Bible is not human opinion about God. No, the Bible is revelation from God. This is what scripture is. So when it comes to truth, I don't get to decide. You don't get to decide. Society doesn't get to decide. God does. Let's go back to this story with Peter and Jesus in the boat and go to verse 3. In verse 3, it says that stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Peter, its owner, to push out into the water. So as you look at this scripture, I want you to imagine, where are you at in this story? Are you like Peter? Are you in the boat with Jesus? Is your life fully consecrated to Christ? Set apart, dedicated, fully devoted to him. Like, I am all in. I am all in the boat. I have said goodbye to everything in this world. And wherever Jesus is taking me in this boat, that's where I'm going to go. Is that where you are? Or are you back on the shoreline? As I said, you know, last week, you're following at a distance. Because when you're on the shoreline, you're very vulnerable. You're vulnerable to every wave of opinion that comes your way. It's like when you walk the midway at the fair. Anybody ever done that? Walked that gauntlet? The guy's barking at you every second to play one of those games, you know? Win something for the little lady. First of all, don't call my wife little, okay? But, I mean, and you don't dare make eye contact, right? Because then, that's like sick 'em, man. They are on you. And when I'm doing it, I just think it's ridiculous because we all know that the games are rigged. They're all rigged. Yet, people are lining up, throwing their money at this stuff, hoping that they're going to win something big, and they walk away empty-handed. This is what's happening today. People are drawn away by a false truth. And they're leaving empty-handed. They bought into a lie. And it hasn't brought the peace and the joy that they thought it would bring. It hasn't brought freedom. It hasn't brought an abundant life. It's been a trap for them. And it's a spinning cycle of brokenness and despair because they bought into a false truth. Paul says this in his letter to the Ephesian church, Ephesians 4:14. Will you say this with me? We will not be influenced. Come on, say it with me. We will not be influenced. Turn to somebody and tell them, I am not going to be influenced. Well, turn back to them and say, I am not going to be influenced by you for sure. I'm not. That's not fair. That's not right. No, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever. Say this with me, what? They sound like the truth. Oh. So there's a movie called Catch Me If You Can. Anybody seen the movie Catch Me If You Can? Raise your hand. It's got Tom Hanks, Leonardo DiCaprio. And if you don't know this movie, it's the story of Frank Abagnale. And Frank is a con artist played by Leonardo DiCaprio. And he's running from Tom Hanks, who's part of the FBI. It's a true story. And this guy is just like taking jobs and he's working his way into places and making counterfeit documents, counterfeit bills, and just living his life. And then, of course, he gets caught by the FBI. And now, today, though, Frank has now turned himself in another direction. He actually now helps out and works with the FBI to catch people that were like him. And so they were asking him about this, and he said that when he's studying documents, he never studies counterfeits. He never looks at the fake. He only looks at the genuine, real deal. All of his time is spent on the real thing. It's got to be the authentic document. And he said he knows because he studied it so much, he can literally touch the document, and just from the feel of it, he knows whether it's authentic or not. He said he can pick it up and he can tell by the weight, this is not authentic. He can look at the signature and he can tell, this is not authentic. Why? Because he's studying the real thing. The same is true with the Word of God. You got to study the real thing. The more time that you spend in God's Word, the more you're going to recognize the counterfeit that's out there. Like, if you want to know God's Word, which I think most of us do, I want to know the truth. If you want to know the truth, let me tell you, it's not that hard to learn the truth. Are you ready? I'm going to show you. All eyes up here. Pay attention. There's not going to be a test after this, but it's really simple. Here's how you can know the truth. Open it. Open the Bible. Now, I know when I say that, some of you are like, well, I've tried reading it. I just don't understand it. Every time God, you know, I hear people, they read it and say, oh, God talked to me and God said this and God that, but God never talks to me when I read the Word. Can I respectfully say to you and kindly say to you that this right here is not the problem? This is not the problem. Quit blaming the Word of God. It's not this that's the problem. It's this that's the problem. It's your heart. If your heart is not open to God, you're never going to hear from God. If your heart is not open to God, you're wasting your time opening them. Don't open the Bible. He's not going to speak to you. The scriptures are pretty clear that when you close your ears to God, he's not going to speak to you. But when people start seeking me, he says, oh, you're seeking me? You don't know me, but you're seeking me? I'm going to open my Word. That's why some people have these crazy testimonies going, I was in a hotel room and I just said, I'm going to see what God has to say. And they open it and all of a sudden the scripture just came alive to them. But when your heart is closed to him, you can't. But when you open your heart, God opens your eyes. That's what happens. So Jesus tells Peter, hey, I know you're a pro, but I got some fishing advice for you. I want you to go out where it's deeper, you know, where you were last night. And I need you to let down your nets like you did last night. And Peter, of course, being the professional, is not open to the idea. Doesn't make sense to him. Why? Because Peter had been fishing all night, hadn't caught anything. That was Peter's truth. But look what Peter says in this moment to Jesus in verse 5. Four simple words. If you say so. Peter opens his heart, and Jesus opens his eyes. And there's so many fish that the boats that they've called to help are literally breaking the nets and those boats are literally sinking. This is what God desires for you today. He wants to open your eyes to the truth. He wants to open your eyes to see the joy of his Word. He wants to open your eyes and he wants to fill your life every day with the hope and the healing and the peace and the purpose that comes from the Word of God. And as you open up your heart to him, he's going to begin to speak to you in ways that you could have never imagined. But it begins with opening your heart to him. So my question to you today is, Have you opened your heart? Are you on the shoreline? Or are you ready to get in the boat and say, okay, wherever you're leading me, whatever you desire. We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.